Okay, good morning, everybody. We are on Brachos Nun Chesamid Beis on the top line and Chesamid Beis on the top line. We are sponsored this week and every week by Balmazers and OMO Construction. Appreciate the sponsorship as well as Bagel Munch for the breakfasts. Appreciate that. All right, we have a lot of regattas, but also some halachas. So Tan Rabbanan, Haroa Bata Yisrael V'Yishuvan. This Braisa says that if you see Jewish homes be shuvan while they're, I guess, all settled, Omer, you have to say a bracha. Baruch Mativ Gavul Almana. That's a bracha. And but it's interesting. We don't really ever say this bracha. Rashi says Kagon be yishuv bayis sheni. Rashi makes it seem as if this is only relevant in Bayis Sheni. Possibly Rashi means it's just like as if it's the conditions that were similar to the Bayis Sheni conditions. But the Rif has a different girsa. He says that when you see, not Bate Yisrael, but he says Bate Kinesios. And so it's a whole question about how this applies, and that's why over the years the practice has been that we don't say this bracha, Mativ Gavul Almana. Maybe sometime in the future. Bechor Banan, when you see destroyed homes, or according to the Rif, destroyed shuls, Omer, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Okay, in theory, this should apply at any time. Still not so common to say these brachos. Batei Ovdei Kochavim B'Yishuvan. You see, Batei Ovdei Kochavim, and that either means, again, base of Avodah Zarah, or it means just non-Jewish settled communities. B'Yishuvan, Omer Baruch Geyim Yisach Hashem. Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. Beis Geyim Yisach Hashem. Okay. I guess. I don't know people who say this. Bechor Banan, Omer Kel Nekamas Hashem, Kel Nekamas Sophia. Okay. These are not brachos. These are just sentiments. These are attitudes.
Would it not be Shem Malchus? Something that you got from before, that when it says Baruch
Matzah Gwil Mana?
No, I'm saying in general, when it makes reference to the Baruch Masa, is that all you would say?
No, Shem Malka, real bracha. Real bracha. Like Diana MS, real, the real bracha. Rav Chista, have a quasli. Okay, Ula Rav Chista. Okay, weird story. Ula Rav Chista, these two Amoraim from Bavel, have a quasli beorcha. Ula would travel back and forth, so he, we'll see. Have a quasli beorcha. They were walking on the way. Kimatu apischa debay Rav Chana bar Chani loy. When they passed by the home that used to be occupied by Rav Chana bar Chani loy, Nagar Rav Chista v'yasnach. Rav Chista let out a deep sigh. Amar lay Ula. So Ula says to him, "What do you do that for? Am I comes nachas? Why are you sighing like that?" But Rav made a comment once. Not that you know this, but I, you know, from in Israel, so I've been exposed to Rav's teachings and Anacha Shoveres Chatzi Gufo Shel Adam. You know, sighing, it just it's damaging to your body. So he was telling him that it's you shouldn't act this way. Shenamar v'yata ben adam heyanach b'shirin masnayim, etc. Rabbi Yochanan even made a comment also in Eretz Yisrael that af kol gufo shel adam, it totally destroys your body when you sigh. Shenamar the next pasuk v'haya ki yomri lech al mata ane anach v'marta al shmuel ki boav and ames kolev, etc. So anyway, so he asks him, you know, what are you acting like that for? Omar lei heichi lo asnach. How could I not? Beisa to have a baishisa and afayasa biyamama. This home here that we're just walking past, it used to have 60 afayasa, 60, I guess, people who would bake, bakers in the kitchen. Biyamama, baishisa and afayasa bililia. They're working round the clock. Yafyan lechol maditzarech. They were providing food for everybody, anybody who would want. Below Shakal Yadam in Kisa, and he didn't ever take his hands out of his pocket. I guess the thinking being that he would always be ready to give money away. The Savar Dilma Asi Ani Bartuvim Be'adamatale Lakisa Kamifsif. Maybe a guy would be a poor guy, Ani Bar Tovim, would come by. I'm not sure exactly the expression, Ani Bar Tovim, whether it means very indigent or whether it means somebody who was indigent but who was used to. I'm not sure. Anyway, so he's coming by for some money, and you know, it takes me too long to get my hands into my pocket to get money, so he has to stand there in the meantime, and it's embarrassing. So you see this attitude of generosity, and Vesu have a pesichin le arba bavi le arba ruchasa, like an Avram Avinu home, four doors, so that it was welcoming of anybody from anywhere would find a welcome place there. Bechal dehav ayel kafe nafiki saveya. Anybody who would come into the place hungry would always be filled up and would go away full. Bechavu shadu le chiti v'sari b'shnei batzores ibaroi. And they would throw grain out of the house, outside, in years of batzores, in years of famine. The kol man de kisifa milsa lemishko biyamam asim yishaka belili. Anybody who was too proud to go and beg, but they would always have the food out, you know, outside at night, so that they could even pick up provisions without anybody knowing. Anyway, such a legendary, generous home. Hashda nafal vitala. So now it's all destroyed, and now it's just vacant, or it's empty or ruined. Below us, nah? And how could I not react that way? Amrlay. So what's Ula going to respond? Samarlay hafi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Meyom shechar vesa migdash nigzra gzeral baten shel tzedikim sheyech ravu. Rabbi Yochanan made a comment. He said, well, listen, he says, nothing surprising about that. After all, from the time that of the Churban HaBayis, nigzra gzeral baten shel tzedikim, Hashem issued a gzera on the homes of the righteous, sheyech ravu, that they should be destroyed. Not sure exactly what this attitude is and what it's trying to convey and what sentiment it's describing here, and I don't really understand this at all. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Yeshio, Yaznei Hashem Tzvogosim lo, Batim Rabim l'shama yeh, Gedol mitovim ein yoshev. Okay.
Doesn't that support the Gersa we have and not the Rif's Gersa?
Because, well, so what do you mean? You mean that this entire story is supposed to support the notion of the Batei Yisrael B'Shivan versus V'Churbanan? That's what you mean?
Well, I guess not. I haven't thought that fully through. But, I mean, he is talking about the Batei of people and not the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, I see.
The first line of
Okay. So you're saying that that's why, for one thing, you're saying that's why this is all relevant over here. It's because we're seeing such a kind of an oscillation between the settled homes and the destroyed homes. And okay, so that sounds good. That sounds like it would support that. You can't tell. The Rif doesn't really ever, you know, get into the ins and outs of things. He just quotes the rules. So it sounds right. Sounds like that should be why this thing is all here. So then he continues to say that Rabbi Yochanan said, but nevertheless, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachaziran L'Yishuvan. But eventually, Rabbi Yochanan said, Hashem is going to rebuild, restore them to their full occupancy. Shenemar, Shir HaMalos L'David, Abotchem Hashem, Ger Tzion. Mahar Tzion, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzir Ro L'Yishuvav, Baten Shel Tzedikim, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzir L'Yishuvan. So I don't really understand what that is either. But I guess this must be irrelevant only in Israel. See, this was going on in Bavel. So I'm not sure exactly what the message is, that in Bavel it's going to be restored also. I don't really get it. Anyway, so that's... So presumably Ula was thinking that having said all of this to his friend Rav Chisda, that he would be comforting him. I guess by saying that, you know, it's just how it goes. It's just destiny that it's going to be Charev and it'll be rebuilt. But anyway, he wasn't Chaziye Diloma Yashiv Daiti. But he saw that Rav Chisda wasn't consoled by this. Amar Lei, so then Ula gives him another comment. He says, Dayo Le'eved Sheyehe Kerabo. He says to him, well, after all, the Beis HaMikdash is also in ruins. And so, you know, it's only kind of fitting that the bias of the tzaddik should be no better off than the bias of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hard to know how that made him feel any better, but at least that's a that's what he said. Tana Rabbanan, Haroa Kivra Yisrael. Somebody sees Jewish graves, Beis HaKvaros. Omer Baruch. You say the bracha, Asher Yatzar Eschem Badin, V'zan Eschem Badin, V'chilkel Eschem Badin, V'yasav Eschem Badin, V'yasir La'akim Chabadin. You have to say this bracha. This is actually a din in Shulchan Aruch, and this we actually do. This is something people should be more makbid about. You should memorize this bracha, and you have it on the phone also, and it's in the Sidurim, and it's in a Siddur app. This bracha is a bracha that you see when you see graves officially, but more commonly, the practice is when you go into a cemetery, you say this bracha.
All the time you go into a cemetery, 30 days, right? You're 30 days between the first and the second time. Right?
Well, if it's the same, if you go back into the same cemetery, it's a 30-day interval, so it's like many of these experienced brachos are. But a different cemetery, say a different bracha anytime you go into a different cemetery. Officially, it should be true, even not if you're not in it, though you just see it from outside. Okay, it's unclear whether a single grave should get, but this should be done.
But here we pass by graves every single day.
Right, so you're not going to say bracha over a routine thing like that. But we rarely go into it, so when you do go into it, say this bracha. And then the minhag has evolved also that after you say this whole bracha, here it says, Mar Bered Ravina Messayim Ba. Marbury Dravina would continue saying, like he would keep this bracha going and has another line. He would finish with Mishmei Rav Nachman, quoting from Nachman, the Yodea Mismar Kulchem, who wasid lacha yoschem, ulakayim eschem, baruch mechaya hameisim. So that's actually with meaning a bracha with Shem Hashem. And that's what it says in the Siddur. And the minhag has evolved that right after you say this, you keep continue into a tagi bor. And there's no provision for rain season, mashiv haruach, it's a little odd. And then you say the whole thing until achios meisim, and then you stop. So that's the minig. Anyway, kivrei ovdei kochavim, but in a non-Jewish cemetery, you just say this pasuk in Yirmiyo, bosha imchem. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't say it, but I guess maybe you should. I don't know.
Is there any discussion of this kind of topic in the Mishnah?
Yeah, this doesn't come up in the Mishnah, it seems. This is only this Brisa here. We didn't have it before.
Okay. Now I was trying to think, like, timestamps. Okay, so it is kind of.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it is from tonight. No, I don't know if it's significant that it's omitted from the Mishnah. So many of these brachas are in Brisos only and not in the Mishnahs, but I don't know what to make of that.
But the Sodei Kochavim, is it talking about Jews or non-Jews?
Because well, it at least is non-Jews. The question is whether it's only genuine idolaters or is it just generally non-Jews?
Based on the bracha that you're saying, I would almost, or the curse that you're saying, I would think almost it's talking about the Jews saying, like, you know, your mother's embarrassed. Why is your mother embarrassed? Because you're a Yid who's going off the derech and you're being Ovdei Kochavim. That it really only applies to a Jew who's Ovdei Kochavim versus just a regular guy.
That's such an interesting point.
Be relevant?
That is such an interesting point. I don't think I've seen anybody make that comment. But that is a great insight. I don't know. Bosha imchem. What's the busha? I don't know. Probably in general, we're always expecting non-Jews to be decent, God-fearing non-Jews, and so whenever they're of the Avodah Zarah, we fault them for that too. So we don't really accept that as being the natural state of things. So maybe that's still relevant. To express that type of sentiment of Bosha Imchem is even applicable even to non-Jewish. But maybe, I guess it would only be if it's over the Avodah Zarah Mamish. Maybe. I mean, again, is this only in Israel? Is this anywhere? I guess this is anywhere. All right, certainly in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't make the chiluk between Israel only and anywhere. Okay, I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This is one of these rules that people know theoretically, and nobody does it. You say Shechyanu when you see your friend that you haven't seen in a month. Poskim all point out that this is when it's a very, very good friend, and you're happy to see them. So it's an expression of being happy. Shechianu, 30 days. Liachar yid beis chodesh, and if it's been a year, Omer baruch mechay hamesim. Again with shema malchus, you say the bracha atashem kerem alecho la mechay hamesim. So this the poskim Aruch HaShulchan makes this comment. He says, look, well, mechay hamesim is about how that. Well, you never heard anything from them, so you don't know what they're up to. You don't know how they are. You don't know what their status is and matzav is. And so when you encounter them after 12 months, so then you say mechaya hameisim. But if you've had any interactions, heard from them, heard about them, or anything in the time in between, so then that resets the clock. Aruch HaShulchan does not think that's true about Shechianu, incidentally, and that he would say that you would say Shechianu. The thing is, though, that they point out, Aruch HaShulchan makes this comment, but a lot of others quote also, the Ravid, he says that all of these brachos are reshus. And because they're all reshus brachos, they're not mandatory to the extent that a regular Shechianu one on a moed is a chiyuv. So that's why we're more easygoing and we're less adamant about people saying these brachos as the occasions warrant. And so, you know, you always wonder, maybe I'm not as close as to justify, maybe my level of simcha didn't rise exactly to the threshold that the bracha would require. And anyway, so that's why we don't really say it so often. But at the same time, I can't believe that it's not appropriate. So if you really are excited to see somebody, I really can't believe that there should be any reluctance to say Shechianu.
What if one says no?
Nice.
Again?
That's an awkward situation when one of them says the Shechianu and the other doesn't respond. Nice. Okay. That could be what's going on also. Could be that experience shows that you just get into trouble with this. You mean better not to... Okay, that's very good. And then in the spirit of 12 months and not seeing somebody, Amarav, Eina meis mishtakech min alev, ela liachar shnei basar chodesh. Shnemar nishkachti kun leis mi lev. Ayisi kekli oved. All right, Rav makes the comment that it takes 12 months for the meis to drop out of your mind. That's certainly is related to the fact that a velus stretches on for 12 months for a parent. And kekli oved. Rashi makes a comment here about what does that mean, kli oved, like a lost kli. Rashi says this is true al pi din, that if the kli is lost for more than 12 months and you find it after that time, is it assumed to have yush because it's out of the owner's mind after 12 months? It's a little unclear. Rashi quotes different dinim about this, about how you have to do achraza for up to a year of time. And then after that, you don't have to be machriz for an aveda. But it doesn't mean that you can keep it, though. So that's a little unclear. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Habakazli, Biurcha. Okay, so then we get another very weird story. Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, these two Amarayim, were Habakazli, Biurcha. They were walking along. Hagabe b'Rav Chanina b'Rei de Rav Ika. They encounter Rav Chanina b'Rei de Rav Ika. Amru lei. So as they approach each other, these two, Amorayim, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua, said to Rav Chanina, they said, "Ah, it was so great to see you, b'Hari de Chazinach. As soon as we saw you, Barichina Nalach Tarti, we said two brachos when we saw you. The first bracha, Asher Cholak Mechach Maso Li Reyav, the bracha that we've already seen earlier about saying the bracha over a Chacham, Chacham Mechach Me Yisrael. And also Shechianu. And it's also so great to see you. Amar Lehu. So he says back to them, right, very relevant to Jeremy's point. Amar Lehu, Ananami, I, when I saw you two guys, Kibbeh dechazasinu, chashavtinchu ilavai, keshisen ribavon beis Yisrael. When I saw you two guys, I also had the sensation that it was like I'm encountering the entire body of Klal Yisrael in you two. Ubarichna alaihu telasa. And I said three brachos overseeing you, which three? Hanach Tarti, the two that you mentioned, and also the bracha Chacham HaRazim. The Chacham HaRazim bracha, which is the bracha that you see overseeing all 600,000, the whole body of Klal Yisrael, 600,000 Jews. Well, I don't. What would you react to that? I mean, you would say, oh, "That's funny." What reaction would you give to that?
Sounds like a
yeah, sounds like something like that. So this is how they react. You don't want to hang around Amorayim exactly. Amarulei Chakimas Kuli Hai. So they said to him, "You're such a smart aleck. Yahavi bid Einahu v'Shachiv. Drop that."
No.
So he dropped it. All right. Yeah, well. So anyway, I'm not sure exactly what to get out of this story. Maybe that's what Jeremy said. You don't wanna fool around with these brachas, maybe, because you never know what people are gonna say. So maybe that's not bad. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, yeah, Rabbi Shua ben Levi is the transitional Tana Amora. Haroas bohaknim. If you see people who are bohaknim, so what is that bohaknim? It's some kind of a skin condition, some kind of blotchy skin. Omer baruch mishana habrios. You say a bracha, mishana habrios. The Kaddish Baruch Hu makes all kinds of unusual creatures. Meisave. Wait a second. But they had a kasha against this. Doesn't this go against a braisa tosefta? It says Rasa Kushi, Vyasa Gichor, Vyasa Lavkan, Vyasa Kapach, Vyasa Nanas, Vyasa Darnikus, Omer, Baruch Meshana Habrios. The Braisa says that if you see some of these individuals, a Kushi, somebody who's black, a Gichor, somebody who's some other color, Lavkan, some other color, Kapach, Ananas, there are some people, all kinds of physical, unusual physical characteristics. Omer, you say a bracha, Mishana Abrios. Esa kiteya vesa suma vesa pasuya rosh, vesa chigir, vesa mukashchim, vesa bohaknim, Omer Baruch Dayan HaMS. If you see somebody who is deformed or malformed or some other kind of physical characteristic, that's a kind of a very, very obvious disability, you say a bracha dayan ha'ms. So the Gemara explains. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, so then why did Rishu ben Levi put the bohaknim in the Mishana Brios category and not in the dayan ha'ms category? So the kasha Gemara says, well, clearly the difference is, anyway, why are the ones in the first category put it there and the others in the second category put there? That's because the first ones are congenital. They're born that way. The second ones, we're presuming, happened, you know, throughout their lives, at some time in their life, the amputee and the person who was blinded and the person who was lame and the person who was suffering from Shechin. And so obviously these are conditions that affected them during their life. So that's Dayan HaMes. But Mishan HaBriyah says if they're born that way. So the Gemara answers that. Apparently this skin condition, you can either be born with it, it could be congenital, or somehow or other it could develop over time. And if you knew which happens, you'd say the one bracha or the other. And anyway, it's pretty clear that that's the case, because that's the clear distinction in the categories, such as the amputee. Okay, in theory, we would say these brachas also, but again, it's kind of a sensitive thing. Also, in our world, we're so used to seeing all kinds of different things that it's a lot less shocking when we encounter any characteristic that anybody has. Tanur Rabbanan Roa, Piel, Kof, and Kipuf, Omer, Baruch Meshana Habrios. Okay, obviously, they didn't really have a lot of exposure to unconventional animals. So if you see a peel, an elephant, or a kof, or a kippuv, or some kinds of monkey-like animals, so then Omer Baruch Meshana Habrios. You say Baruch Meshana Habrios. They are unusual. Not necessarily unusual in a way that's repulsive at all. It's just amazing, unusual. Neshana Habrios. Ra Brios Tovos Ve'ilanos Tovos. But if you see amazingly wonderful creatures, Brios Tovos Ve'ilanos Tovos, then you say Bracha Shekachalo Ba'olamo. Then you say Bracha such, say Bracha to Hashem Shekachalo Ba'olamo. There are such wonderful things in God's world. What kinds of things are identified over here as being such beautiful things? Trees. I don't really get it. I don't know. I don't know who they were talking to there, where you'd look at the tree and you'd just be struck by the beauty of the tree, that you would say, Bracha Shekacha Labolamo. In theory, we say this about people also. You see beautiful people, you would say this, Bracha Shekacha Labolamo. But I don't know. Okay, two dots. Now we're actually back to what it says in the Mishnah. One of the first lines of the Mishnah was that when you experience different kinds of awesome natural phenomena. The Mishnah says, Al hazikin v'yalazvos v'yalaramim v'yalaruchos v'brakim yisei shekocho gvoraso malei olam. That's what it said in the Mishnah in the Dalit. So al zikin. What are zikin? And again, the bracha that you're supposed to say in the Mishnah says, shekocho gvoraso malei olam. These are awesome and dramatic and potentially terrifying things. Like, that's what the Mishnah is saying. It's talking about, we'll see. So, Zikin, you say, my Zikin. What are Zikin? Now, sometimes when the question is my Zikin, doesn't necessarily mean what does it mean, what does it refer to, but it might be what is responsible for Zikin. What are Zikin? And what do they, as if like, we know what the thing is. We just want to understand what this phenomenon is. Zikin. But for us, what actually is it? So what are Zikin? So it's a little unclear. There are two possible candidates for Zikin. Either Zikin are comets. And we don't really, we haven't had a lot of experience with comets recently, in recent decades. And or it's shooting stars. Either shooting stars or... So Shmuel says it's Kochava de Shavit. Kochava de Shavit. Didn't really explain anything to us anyway. So it's either one or the other. It's either comet or shooting stars. The comet obviously was something that, you know, that traditionally people were terrified of. And so it at least would make sense to be on that list. Shooting stars are not really that terrifying because they're so brief. But anyway, so maybe it's a comet. The Amr Shmuel. And Shmuel had a comment. This is one of the places where Shmuel gets his reputation for being an astronomer. Nehirin li shvili di shemaya ke shvili di nahardah. I am so familiar with the Shvile Dishmaya, with the workings of, or the tracks of, or the paths of the sky, Kishvili Dinaharda, just like my own town, Naharda. Labar Mekochava Dishavit, except I can't predict Kochava Dishavit, except for comets or shooting stars. Delo Yadana Mayniyu, I don't even know what they are. Happens to be that that particular mystery took quite a long time for people to come to understand what comets were, what comets are, and for that matter, even shooting stars also. So anyway, so this is Shmuel. Now it's interesting, we kind of take Shmuel's statement about himself at face value, and we actually do consider him to be an expert in astronomical phenomena. Although I don't know necessarily. It's not as if we have a lot of evidence that Shmuel has this type of mastery. But anyway, I mean, I mention it because, you know, we always talk about Shmuel's statement about the length of the year. The calendar is built upon a 365 and a quarter year. That's Shmuel's statement. And the question is, you know, it's pretty good, but it's not as accurate as they had back then. And that's a question, is how much did Shmuel know about these things? But in any case, so if we take him anyway at face value, he was saying that he understands, and maybe it means he can predict, because nobody understood any of that stuff. But they could predict the movements of the bodies in the sky, that they could do for sure. And nobody could predict comets. So comets were absolutely unpredictable. And even though we've come to understand that Halley's Comet is predictable, but, you know, it took until like the 1700s to be able to come to that realization. And that required, you know, looking back over records of comets and trying to piece together indications that any of these comets might actually have orbits as opposed to one-shot sites. So in any case, it says over here that Shmuel couldn't predict comets. Okay, nobody could. And he didn't really know what they were either. Right, that's for sure. And Vigamiri, so now we launch into astrology. So here we get a lot of astrology from here down to the next page. Vigamiri Diloa Varkisla, or Kasla. And we have a tradition. Not sure who was the fomenter of this tradition. I don't know. But whatever it is, there's some kind of a tradition or other that comets or shooting stars, whatever these Kochava de Shavit are, never go past Kasla or Kisla. V'i Avar Kisla Chorev Alma. If a comet ever actually invaded the portion of the sky that was occupied by Kasla, Kisla, Xeal, then the whole world would be destroyed from such a thing, such an event. The Gemara asks, hold on a second. This is a very typical rejoinder to those claims. V'alka chazira de'avar. Wait a minute. But it's not true, because we do know, we have seen comets or shooting stars pass that constellation. Kisla. Mariah has to give answers to this instead of just backing out of the whole Gemiri. They never actually back out of any Gemiris. They always just answer them. My answer is...
What is Kisla?
Well, we could say that Kisla is one of the constellations. So which one of the constellations? Not so much that it matters anyway. But I think that particular one, Xeal or Kisla, is... which one is Xeal? Xeal might be Orion. Maybe it's Orion. It could be. Orion, that was one of the ones that they had. They called Orion the giant. I think that was this. Anyway, I wouldn't waste so much time trying to, you know, zero in on what these things are. So it says here, the one answer that was given was, nah, it's not, it's the actual comet didn't go into Orion to Kisla. It was only Zive who the Avar, Mischazi ki the Avar Ihu. Okay, it was only the glow of the thing, but the thing itself skirted around it. Maybe. Okay, I don't know. And Rav Huna Bredu Bishua Amar Vilon Hu Demikra Demigalgel Lemechzina Hora Demrikia. And Rav Ashi made a comment, something funny, that was saying, well, no, you didn't understand. That's not a comet. That event that you were talking about, that was the actual fabric of the sky that had developed a little bit of a tear along a seam, and then as it tore a little, you were able to see through it, and there was a glint of a shining gleam that was visible from the portion of the sky behind the sky part of the fabric of the sky. That's all that was. Don't stress about the sky, that. So they were okay with the sky falling apart, but not about comets. Okay. Anyway, in that world, you know, anything can make sense. The Megalgal Mechzin Ahora Derikia. And Ravashi said, no, it's a different thing. Kochavahu Diyakar Mehagisa de Kislava Chazi Lechavre Mehakisa Omisbais. Mechzi Kamandiyavar. No, and Ravashi had a different explanation for what was going on over there and why it wasn't the violation of the Mesorah. Really, it was that one particular star on one side of Orion was dislodged, and the other one was saw it happening and mimicked its movement, and so it was a little bit of an optical illusion, sort of. Anyway, Shmuel Rami. Okay, Shmuel raised the following kasha from the Psukim. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Ose Ash Ksiel Vekima. Uksiv, one pasuk says it in that sequence. Ash, Ksiel, and Kima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the constellations in the sky. Ash and Ksiel and Kima. We'll see that Ash is some kind of a portion of a constellation, and Kima is another. Maybe it's a constellation or portion. Uksiv, Ose Kima Ksiel. Ose Kima Uksiel, pasuk in Amos. That Hashem makes the Kima and the Ksil. So it's out of order. So HaKetzad. So how do you reconcile the discrepancy? So this is Shmuel explaining. Ilmalei Chama shel Ksil lo neskayim olam ipnei tzina shel Kima. Ilmalei tzina shel Kima lo neskayim olam ipnei Chama shel Ksil. Okay. So he says, this is what's going on. What's going on is that these are two different constellations that are associated with, this is the way it's kind of understood, that they're associated with the actual constellations on the zodiac. See, the sky is loaded with all kinds of constellations, but there are only a few of them that are actually in the path of the sun and the planets. Only those few constellations that are along what's called the line of the ecliptic. And that those are the ones that we pay a lot of attention to because we consider it significant when the sun, in its annual circuit around these different constellations, it only goes through those 12. So that's why, and it's roughly there are 12, that means one in a month. So every month, the sun is in one of these constellations. And so those are the ones that get a lot of press. And all the other constellations in the sky don't get any attention. And that the... And each one is associated with a different season. So when the sun is in a particular constellation, so presumably that's the one that has power. And I got to tell you that my astrology is a little bit unclear about this. I never really understood. Does that mean that the one opposite is the one that's more kind of potent? Because I can't see the one ever when the sun is in that constellation. So the sun right now... Anybody know? I don't even know. I think it was in Scorpio for a while now. I don't know sure exactly what it is, but the But when it's in that constellation, it means you can't see it because it's either daytime when it's up over the horizon, or when the sun sets, so then the thing is also set. So you can't see those constellations all the time, except you know a little bit, or very early evening, or late, or early morning, when you can just make it out. But I don't know. I don't understand the astrology, but I have the impression that the constellation that the sun is in is the one that's kind of the power that's relevant. I don't know. This was okay. The Amoraim were okay with stuff like this, that the world runs this way, that there are these powers and the constellations exerted power. And it was all under the Hashkachas Hashem, so it wasn't a pagan version of magic and astrology, but it still was okay. It was like part of the natural order, is that these things work. And so the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu set it up was that the Ksil and the Kima exerted opposite influences, and that they had a tempering effect one on the other, and therefore the effect of the Ksil throwing its heat is successfully able to warm up the world, even though Kima is exerting its cooling influence. And that's what we're being told, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu set up that way, and that explains the Stira. The Stira is that the Ose Ash Ksil V'Kima is talking about the prominences of these different things, and different times the Ksil is more prominent, and the other times the Kima is more prominent. Okay. And there's another tradition that we have. Ugamiri, incidentally, Ilo Uktsa de Akrava de Marach Benahar Dinuar, Kol Man de Have Trikale Akrava Lo Have Chayi. And we also have the following tradition, that if not for the fact that Scorpio, Akrava, at least that's unambiguous, that the Scorpio's constellation, that the tail of it, if not that the tail of Scorpio was always kind of in the Nahar Dinur, what that's referring to is this. This part I actually kind of understand. Scorpio is a southern constellation, and it happens to be oriented, as it happens to be, in a north-south orientation where the tail of Scorpio is very in the south, and it barely gets above the horizon. And depending on how you draw it, it's really hard to be definitive about these constellations, but depending on how you draw the tail of Scorpio, it could be that it keeps going down, in which case the tail of Scorpio is always in the pool of whatever is on the bottom, whatever that is. And so this is what we're being told, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged it that way so that Scorpio is always kind of muted in its potency. And if it were not that way, then the scorpions, actually the animals, scorpions, would be so much more deadly than they are right now. That's what it says over here. Behind the Amr Le Rachman Le'iyav, Hatik Shor Ma'ada Nos Kima, Amoshchas Ksiel Tefatach, etc. All right. That's what Hashem was saying to Iyav, you know, or do you understand what's going on in the world? Do you have the power that I have, that I can subdue Kima, Ksiel, etc.? Anyway, the Gemara asks, my Kima, what is the word Kima mean, or what does it refer to, or why is that an appropriate name? Shmuel Kimeya Kochavi. It's like a cluster of stars. Kima. Oh, that's another question. This Kima thing, yeah, what is Kima? That's right, that's a question. So it could be that this Kima thing refers to the Pleiades, and it could be some other little star grouping. Pleiades happens to be right in Orion, so it might be in that whole piece of the sky. Okay, so that's what Shmuel says. It's called Kima because it's like Kimeya. All right. Amri Le de Mechanfi, the Amri Le de Mevadrin. So many stars. Some say that we're talking about a cluster of stars, and some say we're talking about a larger aggregate of stars. Okay. My Ush. Ush is another one of these constellation-type things. Literally, an Ush is a moth. But moth is not one of the constellations. My Ush, Amar Rav Yehuda, Yosa. Ma Yosa? So Rav Yehuda says, you know what Ash is? It's Yosa. What's that? Amri le Zanav Teleh, V'amri le Reisha de Egla. Some say that this Yosa is referring to the star grouping of the Zanav of the Teleh, the tail of Teleh. What's Teleh? Teleh is the ram, that's Aries. So Teleh is the tail of Aries. V'yamri la resha de egla. And others say it's the head of the egel. Egel, I think, is Taurus. It's sure. And they go, okay, whatever. In case that matters to anybody. U'mestavra k'man di'amri zanav Teleh, d'chsev, v'ashal banet and tanchem. Alma chasra, u'meschaziet k'tarfa d'tarif. It seems like this ash thing is actually the tail of Teleh, of Aries, because based on a pasuk that says that ash was a moment it was grieving over its lost children. So you see that it had to have some kind of an imagery of it being lost. And if you think about it, ash looks like it was just tacked on. Ketarfa de Tarif. It was tacked on to Aries. The Azla Basra, the Amrale, Havli Banai. And the reason it's there is because it's always chasing after Teleh saying, give me back my children. Shebashasha Kadosh Baruch Hu Bikesh Lahavi Mabul Yolam, Natal Shnei Kochavim Mekima, Vehavi Mabul Yolam, Ukesha Bikesh Lesosma, Natal Shnei Kochavim Meash, Vesosma. Because of a tradition that we have that when the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to flood the world, he did so by unplugging two stars out of Kima, and that caused this deluge. And when Hashem wanted to stop up the pouring water, Hashem plucked out two stars out of Ash and plugged up Kima with those two stars. Mara says, what was that all about? Why couldn't he just put back the stars that he took out? Dili Hedila, why didn't he just put back the two stars? Mara says, well, because as we all know, Ein Abor Mismali Michol Yaso. As we all know, this is not really true, that anytime you dig a hole and you want to try to fill in the hole with the dirt that you just dug out of the hole, you won't be able to completely fill the hole from the existing dirt. I think real life people will say the reverse.
I don't usually have
extra. It's the reverse. Okay, well, what can I tell you? The Gemara has this weird tradition about how you can't refill a hole from the dirt that you pulled out of the hole. It's a little odd because they must have had the same experiences that we have. But anyway. So I don't know what to make of it. Anyway, that's why it wouldn't have fit. That was the argument. The argument is that whatever applies to people and dirt also applies to Hashem and stars. And so he couldn't have stuck the stars back in. It wouldn't fill. It wouldn't plug the hole. So he needed to pull out slightly larger holes out of Ash for some reason. And the Gemara asks,
What happened there then?
Yeah.
The stars in Ash.
Well, Ash is trying to get him back. That's what we're being told. Is after Kima to get him back? Yanami and Kategenasa Senegar. Okay, maybe another argument why Hashem didn't want to put the stars back. Gemara says, V'livri trei kochav yachridi. Why didn't Hashem just make two other stars? Why do you have to rob two stars from Ash? No, because Ein Kol Chadash Tachat Hashemesh. That goes against the policy. Hashem doesn't make new stars. Hashem just plucks stars out of one place and pops them into another place. And I'm Rab Nachman. Rab Nachman said, don't worry about it. Don't worry, I shall get him back at some point.
We know your statement's not true today. Our new star is still being created, and some are dying out.
Yeah, they didn't really know the things that we know. So,
we can't really up on